before I start, I just would like to pray really quickly before I jump in. Our Heavenly Father, I just thank you for each one of the women in this room. I just pray that you would prepare our hearts to just receive whatever you have to teach us. I pray that you would use me and that it would be your Spirit that speaks through me. Encourage us and help us to encourage one another. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can everyone hear me okay in the back and all that? Everyone can hear okay? Okay, so I'm Lydia, as Jenna said. And the topic today that I'm kind of talking through is Galatians 6:9. Kind of, you could think of it as, if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn there now. I'll be kind of referencing that area of scripture. I'll have some other references as well. But if you have your Bible, you can turn there. If you don't have a Bible, I'll be reading them out loud, so you'll still be able to follow a little bit. But you could think of, this isn't necessarily like a exposition of Galatians 6:9. It's not like a Bible study of it. But you could think of Galatians 6:9 as sort of the scaffolding for the topic that I'm talking about, which is not to grow weary in doing good. So you could just think of that as like, this is the framework that I've pulled sort of ideas from. So I'll just read that really quickly to kind of set the picture of what I'm going to talk about. So Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So one of the reasons that I chose this topic, it kind of came into my mind about 6 months ago-ish. The verse kind of just stuck out to me, and as I was having conversations with different people here and even just friends outside of Emmanuel, this idea of not growing weary and doing good just seemed really important to me. And so I kind of was thinking through it, thinking, oh, I'll write an article about this or something like that. And then Jenna asked if I would speak for the women's brunch, and so it just seemed like a natural sort of topic to do. So then as I was thinking about it, I'm nervous. Can you tell that I'm nervous? It's so hard to talk in front of a bunch of people, so thanks for being gracious. So I was thinking through it, spending a lot of time kind of having lots of conversations with people. A lot of them were you. And as I had more conversations, it just seemed more and more apparent that the Lord had just put this topic on my heart. And then the brunch was the great opportunity to share. And then my life sort of exploded a little bit. I broke sort of my hip leg and ended up on crutches. And then my dad passed away unexpectedly. I'm going to try not to cry, but I'm going to. So all of you have done good to me as a result of that. So I set out with this talk planning on encouraging you and found myself encouraged by you. So I don't want you to think of, as I talk about these things, I don't want you to think that I'm approaching this as though Emmanuel has a deficit in doing good, because it's actually quite the opposite. The culture here is overwhelmingly people who love to serve one another. And I have directly benefited from that recently. I promise I won't cry through this whole thing, but this topic I want you to think of as a preemptive, don't grow weary in what you're already doing. Kelly always gets me tissues, thank you. So this is sort of a preemptive call to keep doing what you're doing so well. So it's an encouragement because this culture is that, and my prayer is that is the culture of Emmanuel for as long as the Lord keeps this church in Winston-Salem, that we would be known as a culture who serves one another without growing weary. Before I go any further, I do want to specify what I mean by good, because I think precision is important. That's kind of a default of being married to someone who is a philosophy major. Words are just really crucial. So when I talk about good, and when Paul especially talks about good here in Galatians, it doesn't necessarily exclude the good works you do outside of church. So what you do at your workplace or for your family or for your friends that don't go to Emmanuel, it doesn't exclude those things, but Paul is really getting at, he talks about do good to everyone in verse 10, but he says, but particularly in the household of faith. So my focus today is the household of faith, so how we serve one another here at Emmanuel. But like I said, that doesn't exclude other ways that we do good work, so you could apply some of these principles outside of it, but I'm really focusing on how we serve one another in the church. So I think one of the words that you, or a phrase that you could use in tandem with good works would maybe be Christian service. And if you think of Christian service, like maybe some various acts come to mind. You might think of missionary work or teaching and preaching, or you might think of maybe some of the smaller things like having people in your home and being hospitable or washing someone else's kids or working in the nursery. So lots of the acts might come to your mind. But I think it's really important that we focus on this qualifier of Christian. So service is not unique to Christians, right? Philanthropy is something that an atheist can do. So I can watch your kids and be a Buddhist. I can bring you a meal and be a Hindu, right? But what makes something uniquely Christian, I think is really important for how we look at this passage. Because like everything else in Christianity, what makes something Christian is begins in the heart. So we have these acts of service, and what makes them Christian acts of service is that they're done in love. And so these are things that we do for one another with hearts of love for one another. And so what that looks like when it's a Christian act of service, or a good work in this sense, is that we do it joyfully, we do it eagerly. There's a sense of anticipating people's needs and even seeing it as a privilege to serve one another. So you don't get this picture of sort of grumbling and complaining. But if we're honest, that is not always how we feel when we approach acts of service. So I am confident that everyone in this room has at some point grown weary in service. And if you haven't, I guarantee at some point in your life you will. And I'm confident in saying that because Paul not only addresses the Galatians to not grow weary in doing good, but he addresses two other churches with the same type of language. And I'll get to those in a minute. Sorry, I have this cough. So in two other places, to two other churches, along with Galatians, Paul tells you and tells us and tells those churches, do not grow weary in doing good. Which means it's a really common malady for Christians, for people who are actively doing good and even diligent in good service, to grow weary in it. So we know we're supposed to serve one another, and we do love one another, but sometimes those things don't always go together. And sometimes we find ourselves walking into nursery shift and thinking, I just don't want to do this morning. Or hesitating to sign up for a meal to bring someone, or ignoring the emails that ask for volunteers for something, or just in general feeling weary and worn out for legitimate reasons. Maybe you've experienced a lot of suffering, and so you're just, you don't feel like you have anything left to give, or just all sorts of reasons can come, and I'm gonna talk about those a little bit in a minute. But we all grow weary in doing good. I want to be clear also, like I said, I think word precision is really important. Weariness is not the same as tiredness. So tiredness has to do with how much sleep you're getting, how much you're doing, and weariness is much more of like a despondency. It's kind of a discouragement, might be a loss of zeal, and it can be just experientially, it really has nothing to do with how much you're doing or how much sleep you're getting or how much time you have to yourself. Weariness is really, it's a soul deep problem, which is why I think it's important to think about it in biblical terms. But even though it's in scripture quite a bit, and even though it is a soul problem, we tend to think about it in very worldly ways. Our default when we kind of come to this weariness is to think, I'm overcommitted, I've said yes to too many things, or I'm not excited about doing that because I'm not gifted there, or I need more time for myself, or, you know, we might think of it in all these terms of that's the reason I feel weary. But because we're misdiagnosing why we're weary, we are then having the wrong antidote. So we think this is why we're growing weary, is because we're doing too much, so then we stop serving, or we scale way back in what we're doing, or we say no to things a lot because we think that will fix the weariness that we feel. Or we think, well, I'm not going to say yes to anything that I'm not good at or that I don't feel uniquely gifted in. And I want to challenge all of us. Now, I'm not saying, let me back up a little bit. I'm not saying that burnout is not a real thing, that there aren't seasons in your life where you have to scale back. I mean, there's lots of reasons, having new babies as we age, breaking your leg. There's lots of reasons that maybe you can't say yes to things. And burnout can happen. And all those things are very real. But I want to challenge all of us today and kind of going forward to not assume first that that's why we feel weary, but to kind of approach it with this scriptural bend first of trying to identify weariness with scriptural terms. So I'm going to read Galatians 6:9 again and then kind of go into some of the implications of that so that we can kind of figure out how do we rightfully figure out why am I weary, and then how do we fix that? How do we actually obey the command, do not grow weary? So again, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So a couple implications of this command. As I said before, this isn't the only place that Paul commands us not to grow weary. In 2 Thessalonians, he almost says it exactly the same, but it follows after warning against idleness. And then again, he says kind of a similar thing in Rome to the church in Rome, though they're not quite as identical, in Romans 12:11. He says, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope. So like I said, the reason I can confidently say we all feel this, and it may not be a result of being overcommitted or not serving in our gifted areas, is because when Paul warns us against growing weary, he's not saying, hey, you're weary, take a break. He's not saying, hey, you're weary, make sure you have lots of margins in your personal life. He's not saying that. He's saying, hey, you're weary, guard against idleness, guard against growing slothful in your zeal. He's reminding us to be fervent in spirit. So Paul's answer to our weariness is not these worldly identifications we might look to. It really is, hey, when you have a tendency to err as humans, your tendency is actually laziness, slothfulness, and a loss of zeal for the Lord. So I just think it's important that when we find ourselves weary, to just evaluate that and ask those questions first before we jump to something else. Why am I weary? Is it because I kind of just am tired and I don't want to keep working in these ways? Is it because I am slothful? And the main one I want to focus on today is, have we lost our zeal? Because I think that's what Paul in Galatians is especially hitting on, is reminding us of why we should be zealous for good works. And again, I want to reemphasize another implication of this passage is we are prone to grow weary. So if you are weary in doing good and you find yourself grumbling and just not in the mood to do good works for one another, you're not alone. That is something that is common to humans in general. All of us eventually will feel that, like I said before. And lastly, which is the most encouraging, is that we can overcome weariness. So if Paul is giving us this command and saying, do not grow weary, the Lord gives us commands and he equips us to obey those commands. So if we're commanded that, that means that we can actually overcome weariness. But the way that we overcome it is not by putting off doing good. Like I said before, Paul doesn't say, you're weary, stop serving, take a break. Paul says, do not grow weary in doing good. And then he sort of gives us a reminder of why we shouldn't grow weary. So I want to give a little bit of the context outside of that verse that helps us kind of understand what that reminder is. So I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So some of the sources of our weariness. I might need that. Sorry. Thank you. Thank you. So some of the sources of our weariness, they're really a failure to do something, which means it's the source of our weariness, and so the opposite is actually the antidote to our weariness. So one of the sources is we grow weary because we sow to our flesh instead of sowing to the Spirit. So I think one of the ways that we do that is we occupy our time and our energy towards building worldly kingdoms and not towards building the kingdom of God. So when we think about the spheres of our life, we think of, here's the sphere of my life and I'm gonna spend all my energy into these things. And they might even be some good things, but all of our energy goes towards building that. And then whatever we have left over, that we give to the kingdom of God. So we're not equipping ourselves to give all that we have to God's kingdom. We're just giving it leftovers. And we're going to grow weary there because we're sowing finite things, and they're not going to have the same eternal reward that these infinite things, that these eternal promises that we have that go as we serve God's people. So the antidote to that part of our weariness is to sow to the Spirit, is to think of our lives as, how can I be the most useful to God's kingdom? How can I order my time and my life and what I invest my energy into so that I can give the most to God's kingdom and not just to my own? Not that we can't do those other things, not that those things aren't good and worth our time, but really reorienting what's central. God's church is central, and everything else feeds into that. So that should be where we begin. And we won't grow weary when we're doing that, because the Lord sustains that work. Another source of our weariness is that we grow weary because we do not work from the Spirit. So we might not be working to the Spirit, but we also do not work from the Spirit. So earlier in Galatians, Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. All of those are things that we are required to have in order to be able to serve one another in love, in an enduring way. And if we're trying to do these things by ourselves and by our own strength, we will run up against the wall of ourselves, because we run dry. We don't have those things on our own. We have to abide in Christ, because as he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so if we're drawing from ourselves, the well is going to run empty eventually. But if we're drawing from Christ, who says he's living water and will never thirst, we will always have more to give, always. So again, the antidote there, so our failure is working from the Spirit. The antidote is working from, or is working from the Spirit and relying on Christ. So we also grow weary because we fail to serve together. Again, earlier in Galatians, Paul commands them to bear one another's burdens. So not just we serve one another, or we serve together as in we're serving side by side, but also as we serve in things that can be really heavy and hard, if we're not communicating those things to one another and praying for one another in those things, we're carrying burdens that we were never meant to carry alone. We're not meant to carry our sorrow alone. We're not meant to carry one other person's sorrow alone. We're meant to carry that all together as Christ's body. And when we do that together, we can actually bear far more than we think that we can, because we're not actually bearing it alone. So we fail because we don't serve together, but when we serve together, we are able to not grow weary in doing good. And also, as we do that, we encourage one another with the truths of why do we do good works? What are these good works for? And so we encourage one another as we serve together. So it's serving together as in physically side by side, sharing the load, sharing that burden, and also by encouraging one another towards love and good works. sorry. And we grow weary because we do not believe that our service is as significant as it is. We don't really believe what Paul says, that we will reap what we've sown. So when we grow weary, we stop believing that. We don't believe that what we're doing has an eternal harvest waiting for us. And we really don't believe the most important command, that when we're serving one another, we are serving Christ. Because if we believed that, imagine how eager we would be to serve. If you think, when I do this thing for my brothers and sisters, I'm doing it for Christ directly. He says that. And even the smallest of things, even giving a cup of cold water, is seen as an act of service to Christ and something that builds his kingdom. And so the antidote to that is believing those promises and remembering those promises. So we overcome our weariness by, again, by sowing in the Spirit and to the Spirit, by working together as the body of Christ. And again, on that, I want to encourage everyone in this room, when you are a member of a church, you matter far more than you may think that you do. Paul talks about the church being a body, and as someone who has a currently broken body, that happens to athletes, right? If I have a weak quad muscle and I go running, my knee will get injured because this muscle is not doing its job. And so this knee is gonna have to overcome for this deficiency that's happening over here. And I'll get injured. In the same way, Christ's body, when we're not all doing our job and we're not all contributing, the body will face injury. We will grow weary because not everyone is jumping in. Now, I want to say that as an encouragement, that your presence, your service, your prayers for one another, your encouragement to one another are all crucial to the health of the body. So that means that when you don't come to Abide and we don't get to hear from you, something is missing. When you don't go to small group, you're missed, not just because your physical presence is missed, but because you actually have something to contribute. When you don't serve, you are missed. The contribution that you have to this body is crucial. And I'm not saying that, like, then you need to feel some sort of pressure and compulsion to never miss anything ever. I mean, maybe a little bit, but but as just an encouragement that every single person was ordained to be in this room that is part of Emmanuel, was supposed to be here. The Lord put you in this church, and that means that you have a role to play here. And it's crucial to the rest of us that you play it. So that's just an encouragement that when we serve together, your service is important. And that's little and big things. I mean, it can be as small as texting someone. And I can tell you, as someone who received a lot of good works from so many people recently, even just a text to someone to say, I'm praying for you, or a word of encouragement, or a piece of scripture, I can tell you that I have been sustained by the Lord through what you have done. And I can tell you the promises of the Lord are so easy to see when his people are acting in obedience. So you have sustained my faith by your good works. And that's what we do for one another. And it's small things. It's cleaning my house for me, making meals for me, sending me a text and telling me you're praying for me, coming up to me on Sunday and even just giving me a hug. Little things build one another up and build up his church. So you are crucial to one another. You are building up his body, and our acts of service do that. Okay, I haven't cried the whole time, just a little bit. So again, we do this together. We lift one another. You prevent weariness in a sister by your acts of service, by your encouragement. Like the author of Hebrews says, consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Encourage one another towards love and good works. And perhaps most importantly, we overcome weariness by remembering God's promise, as I mentioned before, and pointing one another to those promises. That's how we encourage one another. That's how we stir up love in one another. So there are tons of things that you can do practically that you can think about. Okay, what service opportunities should I say yes to? What should I say no to? What can I come up with, perhaps, that's not been thought of to pursue serving? There's lots of practical things, and I'm sure you can come up with those. You can share those with one another. But what I really want to hit home is that at the heart of our weariness is really the simple problem that we don't believe God's promises. But that means that when we remember our greatest hope and what that hope purchases for us and what those promises are, that we can overcome even the greatest weariness. And that will make it so that we can serve generously and intensely. We can serve even through seasons of difficulty in our own lives and sorrow, all because we just remember this very simple thing. And this is essentially what Paul gets at when he encourages the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 58. He says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to the pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So the key to Christian service, to doing good works without growing weary, is to look upon Christ, to look what he's purchased for us, and to just set our eyes on that hope that we have, that we have been purchased out of death. And if God can take us, who had stony hearts, and give us instead hearts that beat with a desire to do his will, if he can do that, then certainly he can equip us when we walk into nursery and we just think, I mention nursery a lot, maybe that's where I grow the most weary. But when we walk into nursery and we think, oh, I just really don't want to do this today. Or we just think, I don't want to make another meal for someone else because the need has been so great. When we think those things, and can we remember who our God is and what he has accomplished for us, certainly he can give us the energy and the joy to go and do these tasks that he set before us. Because if he has commanded us to do them, and he sets good works in front of us and says, this is where I want you, then certainly he can equip us to do them, and he will. And so then if we can remember that and then help each other remember that, to encourage one another with that reality, we can be a people who really do good works without growing weary over and over again. And that's my prayer. Hopefully I didn't go over it. That's my prayer for the culture of Emmanuel, specifically for the women of Emmanuel, is that we'll be known as a people who serve cheerfully, that we'll be generous in our energy and our time, and that we will all have an endurance and a steadfastness in that giving for the entirety of our lives, so that we can end our lives finishing that race and be able to look forward to hearing Christ say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. So that's my prayer for all of you. And yeah, that's all I got. But I don't have like a great way to end except that. So I'm going to, don't clap, please. That'll make me even more uncomfortable. I'm just going to pray really quickly. I don't have any sort of, I think Jenna mentioned you can share some prayer requests. I would love it if maybe in that prayer time, in addition to any personal prayer requests you have, if you can just be thinking about how can we stir one another up towards love and good works, and even going from this time, thinking in those terms. But let me pray for us really quickly. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you that we have this hope that is so big, that you have defeated death and sin for us, and that from that, we can just give over and again because we draw from you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be a people who love one another, a people who are eager to do good, that we would serve without complaining and without grumbling. And Lord, ultimately that we would serve because we want to serve you, because we love you. I pray that you would just increase our love for you, and that would extend to everyone around us. I just pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.